service together, we have some prayer requests here. I guess some might have been moved from here, but Chris and Angela's little girls, I believe, and some other requests. And myself, I will especially request. I woke up on Monday not feeling too great. I thought, wow, the weather must be changing, all this arthritis. And on Tuesday, I felt worse, and I went to Dr. Rainey, and I said, well, that's going to help a lot. It did, but I think I've got like a cold coming, so I appreciate your prayers because it's going to be a rough weekend. However, we trust we'll be here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening hour in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, who has risen amongst us in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire, having raised the dead and proven himself, having done exactly the same things he did when he was here in the flesh, which flesh, Lord, we know is only a covering, a convenience, a conveyance. It was a materialization by true nature, Lord, which you laid down here to bring forth a body, which it brought forth, that perfect human body, even beyond that, to become a sacrifice, shedding his blood, and then rising again and being our mediator. This makes a complete fullness of purpose and a complete fullness of privilege, which we have tonight. We thank you for it, O God. We're very grateful for your gracious goodness to us. Now we pray you'll help us in our study. May it be a study, Lord, that is truly worthwhile, not just revealing, but actually beyond revelation to the point of inner enlightenment, and then from enlightenment into that perfect regeneration, Lord, which goes beyond just the wonderful coming forth of the dead out of the graves, but a transfiguration of living people here in the presence of the tree of life. So we commend ourselves tonight, Lord, with joy and great gladness in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. We're into number 11 tonight. And you'll know, remember the last Sunday, we looked into the dissertation of Brother Branham, especially when he read and unequivocally said, "The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man above the vindicated word of God for this hour." Now, in other words, Brother Branham is saying here that Satan's word has now superseded such scripture as Psalm 119 and 11, where David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." My word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So without the word of God in a person's heart, you are definitely going to enter into a covenant of sin, which sin we saw when Cain deliberately turned down the vindication of God, turned to the scripture, to his own understanding, and by his understanding, absolutely misdirected his worship, even though in his own thinking he had directed it to God. And he did that which was not according to a proper division. He misdivided the scripture. Also, you will notice in Psalm 119 and 145, the same psalmist said, "I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes." So here is a man who is crying with his heart, which, as Brother Branham said, science has proven there's an empty spot in the heart where the soul is, which contains the germ or the seed of God, which if that is not there, and itself being a part of the word, there is no way that the word will come to it. For Jesus himself said to the serpent seed, those Pharisees who were sure they were 100% right, dividing the word of God and being the children of God, he said, the trouble with you is there's no place in you for that word. So now here is the psalmist, as a child of God, a man after God's own heart, he is claiming his whole heart for God, which means his whole soul, as the body says, as the scripture says, body, soul, and spirit, entirely sanctified by the word, and that is exactly where we stand. And he said, "This being the cause, I will keep thy statutes." There is no way that a person can ever keep the statutes of God or the word of God. And we're speaking now plainly concerning the passive faith, which is definitely what you need, or you have nothing from God. All right, notice again in Psalm 138, 1-2, "I will praise thee with my whole heart." there again we have the understanding of the heart and soul being synonymous. And he says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, because thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Now, this, of course, is a very strong statement. And people use it at all times in order to manifest an active faith. And so all the time you will notice that the cry is consistently concerning the people being enveloped or in league with gifts and manifestation, and say, this is what is want. Hogwash. That is not what God wants. I care not two bits for what you manifest. The point is, I can take you to Scripture and show murders and every adulterers and everything else were highly approved of God on the grounds of being sons, not what they did. But they believed. And you cannot get the record mixed up in the book of the 11th chapter of Hebrews simply because it talks of manifestation. The manifestation is great in your active faith, and we appreciate that. But if you begin to see a prophet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ who came thoroughly vindicated by God, and he elevated the word above the name. So what are you going to talk about the name if you haven't put the word there? Now, this is exactly what Satan has done. As Brother Branham said, he has the wisdom of Satan. And the wisdom of Satan always is that which deals with the word, setting it at naught. Which, in other words, N-A-U-G-H-T, means if it's in vain. So, the wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man. Man has listened to Satan until Satan is actually running the worship of man toward God as he once ran with Jesus Christ or Michael in that form, the worship of God in the heavenlies. And he's determined not only to regulate it, but to control it, directed toward himself until man worships him. And you can see this is exactly how it's being done. Now, let's understand that. There's no problem with it. The wisdom of Satan is exalted to the throne of worship in man above the vindicated word of God for the hour. In other words, the wisdom of Satan, Satan's own revelation, is very highly respected in the church. Thou hast manifested thy name, word above thy name. Where also, then, do we stand with the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and verses 6 to 11. And here's what it says. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now remember, if righteousness comes by the law, then faith is gone. If righteousness comes by faith, then works are gone. And Paul says, make up your minds. Now, Paul said, get off the fence. And Brother Branham said, get off the fence. We've turned a corner. But people aren't going to pay any attention. No, they're not meant to pay any attention. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. It's got a testimony. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. It tells you flat, this is something that no man thought of, that no man entertained, and no man thinks of, and no man entertains, except he's got something from God. See, he's not going to say it. Or who shall descend to the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. They can't do it. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, Paul links the complete salvation, the complete righteousness of the individual to his own message. He does not say for 1 minute, listen to Peter. He tells you he withstood Peter. And so why go back to Pentecost? The Danny Regan running around, the big shot. Oh, he is accepted because Brother Branham said get back to Pentecost. But what did he mean by getting back to Pentecost? Peter only
told what had gone on, showed the vindication, and prophesied for this hour. It was Paul who brought the light. And Peter stood there, mummy mouth, like an idiot, with the rest of them who wanted Timothy circumcised. And Barnabas went right along with it. And Paul said, out! He now was stood into his face because he was to be blamed. And Peter had to come along and testify to Paul. Right. Well, you do what you want. Go back to Pentecost. Be my guest. I don't care two bits what you do. I'll stand here warning you. And raising a lot of hackles and a lot of dust. But you do what you want. Paul said this. That is the word of faith which we preach. And he said, sure, you've got many teachers, but you've got one Father. Now, turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers, in our case, is turning back to Paul. And Paul, in his own day, had said they polluted the things of Almighty God threefold. Where are they polluted today? Worse than ever. Now, the word of faith which is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and consequently in thy heart, that is the word of faith which I, Paul, preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What Lord Jesus? Not another Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus Paul preached. And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, not the Jesus you talk about. Because the Corinthians already had another Jesus in the first church age. What Jesus is he talking about? I want to know. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The word supplanting, pushing out, taking over man's heart, the revelation, is the only hope you've got of being righteous before God, whether you know it or want, or you want to talk about what a fine guy you are. And just about now I could lift some scalps off, but I'm not going to. It's up to you. You got your own scalp, you're going to retain it. I'm not saying a word. And I'm not speaking in mystery to make anyone feel bad. I just told you the truth. You can do what you want with it. I've preached the truth. Now, this is what we're looking at, not what you think, and not what I think, but what the Word says. Because what is in your heart? The seed, which is a place for the Word, being a part of the Word, to receive the enlivening Word, which is the Spirit, because it's all Word. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God, and God's Spirit. Rhema Logos, God. Now we're a part of that. We're a part of that lineage. And you have to accept the bold, barren truth. If you didn't have representation then, you don't have it now. And people want to destroy your testimony by bringing you down to Satan's level. He said to this woman, he said, I'm going to tell you something, little girl. You listen to me, and I'll make you. He said, you're going to be God's. Why, he said, you'll know this and you'll know that. Stupid idiot, she already had it. And wouldn't confess it. She said, get out of here. I'm a child of God by headship, having come out of Adam. She stood there, was booby-trapped. Women recognized their virtue and virginity and their precious position in Jesus Christ as vessels of God made. You wouldn't have this trouble with men. Just like Eve, selling it all down the river, trying to be somebody when you already are somebody. Christ died for a bride. Nobody else. You say, what about the foolish virgin? They belong to the bride. Everything accrued to her, she's got, because they're going to be out there bringing their glory in and all. See? Where then did they do with the Scripture? With the heart, man, please raise it. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It tells you right there, Paul said, I brought that word to your mind. Something grabbed hold of you down in your soul. You brought that word out of your mouth, you confessed it. And Brother Branham said the same thing. Say this. He said what Paul said. Say what I say. And they were resting on what Paul taught. Now, what started in Eden and was written about verbatim in Genesis 4, where Cain refused to worship God in and through the Word by correct revelation, ends up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, it cannot be otherwise, because that's what it says. Now, it said, let no man deceive any means, for the day shall not come except there be a falling away first. That's a divorce. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, Satan is going to be revealed for what he is, which is the son of perdition. And that means, like Judas, he will provide the world signs and wonders, miracles, by a legitimate outpouring of the Holy Ghost, by a legitimate anointing, because God will do it, and it will be a wrong, false word. In other words, it will turn down the Christ. They turned him down in body. They turned him down there again, or I don't know what Hebrews says. And crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. Now listen, it says, remember not when I was with you, I told you things. What things? The son of perdition. Matthew 24. He said, I told you before, many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not testified in thy name or cast out devils and worshiped and spoke in tongues, everything else? He said, I never knew you. So Paul must have preached what Jesus preached. In Ephesians, he categorically said, if you've been taught by Jesus Christ, and Paul was the only one that did the teaching. He fully identified himself with Jesus Christ. The Pope can do it, and the stupid Catholics, listen. The crazy Protestant denominations do it, and they'll listen. What is the matter with people when vindication comes their way by a prophet? I preach this hard because someday you're going to be shaken from center to circumference before it's over. Yeah. Try to deny and I'll take your head off in public. Don't ever dare try to come behind me and tell me I'm wrong in this. Shows what you're listening to. I told you before. Now you know what withholdeth and he might be revealed in his time. He said, listen, what I'm telling you is going to come out. And there's going to be a hindering factor at that particular time when he's son of perdition, before he's the man of sin. And you know what's withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. Who's doing it? God's doing it. All right. History's doing it also, and that means by terminology of the hour in which you live, or the hours we haven't lived, you know. Then shall that wicked be revealed. He's called the wicked one. See? Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy the brightness of coming. That's down the road. There's two distinct revelations. One revealing Satan and what he's doing, and one revealing Jesus, the Son of Man, and what he's doing. Son of Man, son of perdition, twins. You can't have anything but twins, my brother, my sister. You get that? Now, good, listen. If you have a problem, you know how to bat your eyes or hold your hand up. I'll stop right there and reteach. Because I know people have trouble, and I'm not going to say you shouldn't have, because you can't have. Now listen here. Even him was coming as after the working of Satan with power and with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivers and righteous, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And Paul distinctly said, because you believe my testimony in that day. Paul the Apostle could say, I have a hard job remembering everything he said, so don't ask me to remember it. But over here in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, it says here, but you have not so learned Christ, if you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. He stood right there and he said, I am Jesus Christ to you. And when you heard me, you heard Jesus. Are you going to get a Baptist to admit that, or a Pentecostal? They ain't going to admit it, but they'll tell you, aha, I got the Holy Ghost, bless God, I hear from God. Oh, you hear from God. I wouldn't listen to your God if he beat on a bass drum, turned the world upside down, and brought down the atomic bomb. I'm not stupid. It's what it says here. They believed the lie, that the all might be damned who believed not the truth, and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Worship today is a great thing. Get high on Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm high on Jesus. Oh, he's my cocaine. He's my, whatever they take, crack and the rest. High on Jesus. Bless God. and sing their corny, stupid songs. I bet if Judas had repented, Jesus would have saved him. I bet that guy doesn't know the first thing about God. Or hasn't got a drop of salvation. If he has, he better start learning something. Otherwise, you believe it, better believe at the white throne, there's going to be restoration. There isn't going to be one person not really saved. And Jesus and the devil will walk hand in hand down the streets of New Jerusalem. And a man who speaks and spoke in tongues believed that stupid doctrine. That's called the restoration of all things. And old Booth Cliburn believed it. You ever hear such nonsense? I just ask one question. Why did Jesus die? Where's it coming from? See? All right, listen. This all ends up in 2 Thessalonians, which started there in the garden. It has to. Now remember, this is based on 2 Thessalonians 1:7 to 10. But you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed in heaven with his mighty angels. Now, Brother Branham, behind the curtain of time, he said, I preach Paul, what Paul said. They said, we're resting on that. I think they said resting, not standing. I'm not. What is standing or resting? Who knows? Resting, ain't it? What it says, rest, right here. We got the same rest. It's as good as though we stood there in a spirit-formed body that we bypassed. What he said. Why? In flames of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished there in everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and the glory of power. And everybody wants to put that apart. They don't honor the twin principle, the alpha, the parallel principle of the two vines and the two spirits, the twins. Oh, they say this is way down the road somewhere. It isn't. When he comes down like he came down there, that's it. And at this time, he comes to be glorified in these saints. And just as soon as he gets them out of here, you watch what happens in this earth. Just bang, 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 bang. Cataclysm, disaster, everything begins to fall, and everything begins to fall into place. Praise God. Who should be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and the glory of power when he should come to be glorified in these saints and be admired in all them that believe? Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. And then you tell me Brother Branham made a mistake? And the saints beyond the curtain of time? His vision wasn't with the Word of God? Come on, wake up, smell the coffee. There's a resurrection in the offing. See? Now, this is based on 2 Thessalonians 1:7 to 10, which is what Paul called the truth, as in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, let's go to Galatians, the first chapter. Now, Paul the Apostle says in the 6th verse, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, you changed what I said. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which have been preached to you, let him be accursed. Now listen, let me tell you something flat. Paul said it's already been done. He said, I had you all ready for presentation, but you blew it. You're not a virgin any longer. You've allowed another word to come into you, which is not my word. Now he said, you miss the tribulation. You come, you get in there when Christ has come to be glorified in his saints. He said, because you believe my testimony, this gospel. But Paul said it's changed. Well, let's keep reading. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any of the gospel to you that we have received, let him be accursed. And we have received, I have received. You be accursed. For do we now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But now listen, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. Neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it by man, but by revelation of the Holy Ghost. Now, listen, in verse 20. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. So therefore, this is the truth. The revelation that Paul brought is the truth. Now, what is going to be the revelation? The revelation has to be the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, in contradistinction to Satan, the son of perdition. You're going to have to understand what the two spirits are. Because that is exactly what it is all about. Listen, over here in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which everybody that calls himself a Christian, and maybe not even, is enamored with, it said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice shall come, trump of God, and they didn't crush your eye first, and reach our line, means to go with them in the clouds, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now listen, that's what this is all about. But the word of Satan pertaining to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is that this is the rapture, which is termed or called the appearing, making the appearing the rapture, when it indeed it is the appearing, prefacing the ascent to the supper by the way of catching up. And there are three principles enunciated in there: shout, voice, and trumpet. And they all occur before the ascent. Number one, there is the message, which we find in 1 Corinthians 15 to be church order. Number two is the raising of the dead, for without us they cannot be made perfect. How perfect can you be when you come to a spirit body? And you stand there. And Brother Branham said, a young 90-year-old woman looked like a 16-year-old girl, and he could take her in his arms and kiss her. And if he wanted, I don't know if he did or not, but he could hug her. And there wasn't any sensation, which was anything but pure. Now, look where they are. The same thing is with us. They without us cannot be made perfect. And I'm not saying now, like some stupid preachers, you've got to forsake your wives and try to be continent when God gave you wife for the very purpose. Now, don't you, we don't preach that junk here. So don't ever leave this church or take this tape and say, they are saying so-and-so. They is not saying so-and-so. He's saying what he said. It's a perfection, which is a completion, coming to a bride. So that we don't stand one whit behind the dead in the sight of Almighty God. Walking right to the tree of immortality. And the third is a trumpet call of the assembly to the ascent. Then comes the ascent. To believe that 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is based on 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10 is beyond any biblical extant church doctrine. Tell me where they preach it outside of this message. And where do they preach it inside the message? Come on, get down to brass tacks. I'm not trying to be somebody. Don't think about it. I'm going to stand for what I stand for. And you can mumble jumble and fool around the corner and say, well, I just kind of don't like the guy, or I don't like this. You like anything you want. I like exactly what I got. Now, preacher, you can do anything you want. Just don't bug me. You go your way, I'll go mine. I told you, I got no wife, no father, no mother, no children, no sister, no brother, no friends when it comes to this message. I can't save her. Can't save you either. I don't intend to try. Because not my job. I got one job, that's to preach. You show me the church that understands that 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is based on 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, and show me that they understand the shout is the chrusma, which is putting the church in order. Coming out of the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where do you get the spiritual husbandry that these goof-offs are preaching? Brother Branham said, as. I preached about 13 sermons. If anybody ought to know the truth, you should. I cleared the record. No preacher can see you through per se. So if you think you're going to come to this church and get some buzz off, you're wasting your time and mine. And this is white throne. I've already testified to every single person in this church. You do what you want. Because you maybe don't believe this is white throne, but I do. I know it. You know why? Brother Brand said so. When a judge passes sentence, all there's got to be is a commitment to the sentence. And the prophet passed sentence from the lips of the judge. I indict this present generation. I do not pray for America. To believe, as I said, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is based on 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10 is beyond any biblical doctrine extant. As in Eden and in Jerusalem, Satan denies this and declares his lie. Brother Branham declared he is here and told his wife. Satan says he's not here. He's yet to come. He points the church to his own false, misleading interpretation. I use the word misleading on purpose because it means he leads them from Christ to himself. His own misleading interpretation, which was given by a woman in an Irvingite meeting in England and is universally believed to be the truth. A woman. Why, she said, the rapture is the appearing. It isn't. The appearing prefaces. We may be accused of heresy and bigotry and downright pride of excluding others, which I am, let's face it. But we contend the rapture doctrine outside of vindication is the lie of this day by Satan and his ministers who use his false light. Anybody wants you to take you back to Pentecost, they're going to take you right there. To be off the truth, one word of the rapture is Satan's kingdom. What else? So then, what word is in the church and hearts of men, and what spirit is in that word working in men? That went over your heads, or did it? If the word of Paul is in us, and we accept it in its fatalistic, what would you call it? Fatalistic perception? I'm stuck. If there's another word, I'm sorry. It was vindicated, but another vindication. Paul said he was vindicated from Jerusalem to Illyricum. True, positive, I had what nobody else had. Oh, bless God, Peter had so-and-so. Oh, did he? Peter, after his bashing by Paul, and he asked for it. Paul was a dirty, filthy skunk, wasn't he, sweet people? You wouldn't have done that. Oh, you'd have been there, you wouldn't have crucified Jesus either. You know all about it. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Peter deserved better. No, he deserved bad. Barnabas deserved booting out. Dirty old Paul. Scumbum Paul. You knew the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas. What do you do now? He said, yeah, that's the trouble. Barnabas became unseparated. Well, Paul, you aren't nice. He said, no, I'm not. My life depends on it. You want to fool around, said Paul. You think you can still turn a corner or sit in the fence? You better go someplace else. See, Peter was sitting on a fence. He got cured in a hurry. Yeah. What else? See? Turned away from truth. We may be accused of being people to exclude. But we are of God's kingdom based on the fact that we know the word is a conduit. And there are two spirits and two words. And the very spirit of Satan is one that God created. And the very power of Satan is a lone power that he has the right to abuse. And he does it. So you have two words that are conduits. Can you then believe that you become full of the Holy Ghost, piling word upon word upon word upon word Or do you still think you are Pentecostal? You take your pick. There's a difference between you being born again, evidently, and you being full of the Holy Spirit, and me also, including myself. You know that. As Paul said, be being filled, speaking yourselves in spiritual psalms, making melody in your heart, speaking this word to yourself and to others, this word of Paul that has been restored to us, and to others, and singing with the melody of those words, being not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but filled with the Spirit, piling word upon word, and the life being released therein. No, people don't want to believe that. But let's find what the Bible says, because it's not just good principle for me to talk about these things and you agree. But let us go to the Word of God as in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, and verses 1 to 3. And you hath he quickened, which who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we had our behavior in time past, and lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, born in sin with all capabilities. But because of that little seed in there, predestinated to God, you caught the light. Ephesians will tell you the same thing again, the 5th chapter, verses 6 to 7. And it says, not with thy service, or beg your pardon, over here, 6 and 7. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let a man tell you words that haven't been vindicated. Words that have no power and no authority. Some idiot like Joe Smith talking about the golden plates some angel showed him. As one fellow said, it would have taken a wagon load of golden plates to put it in those books. Joe never said a thing about a wagon load of gold plates. And it ended up in a whorish religion. Everybody's known for years the Mormons never quit polygamy, though it's on the books of America. They said, we have, and they hadn't. And now it's out in the open. So much for your polecats, your whoremongers. No different from the Muslims who figure heaven is one great and wonderful 24 hours a day, 80 million years of sexual intercourse. It's interesting, isn't it? Stupid. You think I'm not telling the truth? Study up a few things, you'll find out. Let no man deceive you. With these vain words, because of these vain words, by these men that you believe, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He's telling you about the end time. When the cup is filled. So why doesn't God do it to every age? God doesn't. The prophet told you. He sends a messenger on the sea who draws the net and brings them in. The people believe it, then they fall away, and God lays that man to rest, sends a plague, which is the plague of death. Second death. They're bound over to the end time. Come up in the judgment. They don't get another chance. This is it. Then again, until the last time, there is no repentance. Because you're not just dealing with the messenger of God, you're dealing with God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire working through a prophet. As Brother Branham said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man, God, but it comes through a prophet. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There you are. It tells you there are two word class people. One word class is of the devil. The other word class is of God. And at the end time, the prophet warned, there is a razor blade difference. Not I make a man think, but it didn't. And by these words, the church worship God in error by the spirit of error. The people worship God. which God will not accept. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Those who identify are wolves in sheep clothing. They bring forth after their own kind, which are more wolves in sheep clothing, because they go out and testify to what the wolves said. As Dr. Henry Ward Beecher, a great minister under the Wesleyan age in America, they said, Dr. Beecher, how is it that you have such great success in your church and people are coming in? He said, because I faithfully preach one sermon per week for 200 people, and those 200 people faithfully preach the same sermon to 200 more. Now, if Henry Ward Beecher has the light, marvelous. And that was a prolific age. The age of the tassel, as Brother Branham said. But today it's over. It's harvest time. Two anointings are here. Each is identified by the revealed truth, which is based on vindication. Now, where are you? This is what Brother Branham preached and tried to get across to. Okay, we're going to go to page 22. Now, we're just going to read rapidly because Brother Branham starts here and he's going to talk about women in the particular sense that he used as the type of the church and all. And he says the top of page 2289 going backward, now let's watch it be manifested. He says he is making a better world for them which live, for them to live in, by his knowledge apart from the never-failing word of God. Now, the people do not believe it's a never-failing word. Poor little Eve didn't evidently believe it. She just blew it right there. See? Now, this is Romanism and her daughters. And they're trying desperately in order to set up a social system that people can come into and they'll better themselves. The world has never been more barbaric than today. What are they talking about? You listen to the news. It's deplorable. What they're doing in Guatemala, a terrible thing. Little children beating them. The kid didn't ask to be born. Now in America, they're going to pass the law, and the person that stands for abortion is going to win. Women's live. God have mercy. Every turn they take to be their own little boss, they come more and more under a man until one day they fall right under the man of sin. And believe me, they will hop and jump to his music. I'm sorry for women. I've always stood up for you, but I cannot stand up for the women of the street and what they represent. I will not do it. Nothing makes me madder. I'm sorry. I'm with Brother Branham. 298 boo-boos and 290 were made by women, I think. That's just driving down the road. Not against women. Never have been and never going to be. They just don't understand, and the trouble is they don't want to understand. Just like Cain. God said, now Cain, look, don't do it. So I'll do what I want. All right. By his coming together in denominations and creeds and intellectualism and science and so forth, he is making a better world for men to live in and ignoring the promises of God that the only time the world will be fit to live in is in the millennium. Now remember, today, everybody that's in government is swearing to make it a worker's paradise. But you see, the lobbies are too smart. And they influence the people's mind for money. So now the women have a chance in the courts. They had a chance by law to better their condition now so that men cannot be sexually insulting to them and oppress them sexually. And this woman has even lost her case, and they're even going to make her pay for the dirty, rotten scum that tried to get in with her. Turn her over, son. Let's move. No matter what you do, legislation or not, Mr. Bush is going to say no. Because rich men say, now, hey, it shouldn't be done.
women's lib. You haven't got a prayer. Ever since the garden. Brother Branham said, I will tell you how to take your true position in Christ. They wouldn't listen. Now listen. Notice, Satan legalized sin. You can see that in Isaiah chapter 5, the whole chapter. I'm not going to read, don't have time. He legalized drinking whiskey, cigarette smoking. Then the churches legalized that women could be members of church with short hair and so on. Now we stop just a minute. She can wear shorts, wear pants, still belong to a religious group, which is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. He, Satan, says it's all right. See his knowledge? What's that got to do with a woman? Just the same as taking the forbidden fruit or not the forbidden fruit. That's what it is. God said not to do it, but he does it. In other words, the sin is still continuing because it's against the Word of God. God said don't do it. Now then, she believes him and she loves him for it. That's Satan. She hates God. Where is God in his word? Oh, said the priest, in his holy church. What holy church? The Romans? Ah, puke. Holy my foot. They stink to high heaven. What about your Protestants? Baker. Complete sleaze bag. And the Jesus only guy. Swigger the swagger. Him monkeying around with filthy little things. Turns my stomach more than the other guy. So that's not everybody. It doesn't have to be everybody. It's a picture of their religion. It's a picture of their scriptures. It's a picture of what's in them. When you get your Joneses and this crap amongst us doing these things, it's what's in them. Good news for you. There's a progression in the bride, if you only would believe it. We don't have to just fuss about these things. We can overcome and we can live it. Jesus said, if they had not seen the mighty works that I had done, they had no sin. But now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. The Pharisees, you little whippersnapper, cotton picking liar. I want to tell you something. You stink. We like the works. Feed the multitude. Raise it, but shut up about the word. Tell us we're right. Am I telling you the truth or not? Amen. I want to ask you a question. Is the Bible right? And the Bible distinctly says when they see the works of God and do not endorse them, knowing they are from God. We're talking about Jesus Christ now. And if that spirit did come back as in Matthew 12, and it has to be that spirit, and it can't be the person, and it wasn't the person because he raised his voice in the street. And the Bible says he will not raise his voice in the street at this time. He won't contend. He did contend. He won't quench the burning flax. He did. You tell me one Jew will get in that bride, one Jew get to Jesus, to Almighty God in the principle of Scripture without the blood of Jesus Christ and the understanding? The 144,000 alone will be in that bride, plus those few back there in the foundation. And the foundation is not the Gentile church. A foundation of a house is not the house. It's a foundation. I'm not mad to anybody, don't worry. I won't bite you before it's over. I've about lost all my teeth anyway, and I'm fine if I bite too hard, I might lose her gum. She hates God. Her actions prove. She says she loves him, but she loves Satan. She worships the god of fashion, the god of the world, the Hollywood goddesses. You think they don't? Ha! Sure. She loves him, but she hates the true word of God, which is the only true God there is, Rhema and Logos. Legalizes it. The church, in the church, there isn't any harm. No, no. Our women can do this and do that. See, they're liberated. But in the presence of the living God, she's not even to come lest she's repentant. Bear with me. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. You there troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be in heaven, and heaven's mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. When? He's going to be glorified in his saints.
She's talking about loving him. And hates the present one. And those in the Branham message say, well, that's a doctrine.
Brother Branham said, Christ is the doctrine. Did he or didn't he? He did. He said he was a seal. Let me tell you something. A doctrine is the word picture. The elucidation of the principles within the things spoken about. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our justification. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our baptism. Christ is our resurrection. But to all these phonies around here, he's a doctrine.
Why don't you men simply line up what a wife is? Boot her out, what you got. Just write a treatise. So I'd like to meet your wife. Wife, yes, a wife. This. So that ain't no wife, that's a description. Oh, no wonder I was having trouble.
Pretty stupid when you bring it out like this, isn't it? You know, it's like old Bernard Brook, and I have no use for him. Never had, never will. He's dead. He made billions and millions and millions of dollars. But he told Woodrow Wilson, I'll give you $50,000 to get the Democratic nomination and Colonel Mendel House becomes your advisor. That's supposed to be absolute true history. That's the way it went. No wonder the nation had trouble.
But I like what he said. If you economists are blankety-blank smart, why aren't you blankety-blank rich?
Now, if you people are so smart, you guys that preach, the theologians, what about it?
Produce something. Have you ever had a stray tom and a stray cat come by your house? Boy, can they produce kittens. The guys that don't believe this can't produce anything. Really? Because on Judgment Day it says, I never knew you. So your production goes up in smoke. You grow up with it. In the presence of the living God, she's not permitted to come unless she's repentant. See, he is the God of worldly beauty. He is. She wants to look beautiful, and he is the God of beauty from the beginning. Adonis and Venus? Huh? Oh, yeah. He can and has achieved by his knowledge in science and materials to make beauty for this model age, this modern age, rather, of evil. He's made beauty. Notice, it's noteworthy to notice at the beginning, Seth and his children never went the scientific way. Now we're going to talk about science for a few minutes. If I say this, not excusing my ignorance, but a bunch of ignoramuses, anything to deny the Word of God, see? Sure. In other words, they're the ignorant bunch deny the Word of God. It's noteworthy. Watch it. Seth's children never went to the scientific road. They were humble herdsmen, farmers, and so forth. That's exactly true, and they'll be that in the millennium. But the Cain's children did. Why? Inspired by their daddy, the devil. Inspired by their daddy, the devil. And then he says, Cain, inspired by his daddy, the devil. These inspired by that seed coming down. Now he's talking by going back to the original delineation upon a real picture of worship, an historical account. Now he said, going back there is where I want to take you. He was inspired by Satan. Abel was not. Now he said, the seed coming down does the same thing. Now, at the end time, it is told in Scripture these are natural brute beasts. Do you think for 1 minute that God Almighty is just going to destroy people? No. They're animals. We're animals, but not that kind of animal. It's the flesh that's all messed up. Of one lump has the seed come down. Now this seed has come down, so they are actually Cainites. And the children of Cain were the first to go into polygamy. And remember, the prophetic utterance concerning Eve was and her daughters that they would have multiple birth. Animals have multiple birth. When did the multiple birth really come in? When they got all mixed up, they mingled the seed. And sex orgies were the order of the day. Watch the seed of God coming down through every age, and watch where it's heading up today. There's a seed of the serpent coming down. There's a seed of Adam coming down. And remember, Adam was the Son of God. Now remember, God said to Jesus, "This day have I begotten thee. In you is my genealogy." And remember, let us make man in our image. God, by Christ Jesus, created and made all things and maintains all things. So you have a son who fell. And a daughter who fell. But the light was handed down because there's a natural election. And even Jesus had it. Token-wise. Born into a certain tribe. And both sides of the family, so-called, though neither she nor Joseph were involved as to providing anything other than he provided comfort and home for her and the child. And she merely was like an incubator. Not throwing off on her, just telling you the truth. You'll understand a few things. Christians, genuine Christians, are not all about scientific research and stuff. No, in just a minute we'll get into that. But Cain's lineage takes after the nature of its father, the devil, full of worldly knowledge, beauty, science, and so forth. Cain's children were scientific. They were educated. They were the players of musical instruments, modern Elvis Presley, and some of stuff like that. The school board lets happen in the lane here every Saturday night. Builders of cities, beauty buying women for personal lust. That's true. As the devil giving women paint, bobbing your hair, putting on shorts and things like that is for their own dirty lust. That's pretty flat, but I don't hear they say it. Now, right away, people think, well, Brother Branham's against music. You can't be against music. They used it in worship back in 2 Chronicles 7, 1-3 and so on. You can't be against science to a certain degree and men being cunning with their hands because God himself endowed a certain person to be an artificer in gold and make all the accoutrements and things of gold and silver for the tabernacle. He enlightened the people. So there are things that you can do. Like Brother Branham said, education may be of the devil, and it is, but you've got to be educated. Now, you can't simply say that ignorance is the right way to go. Because there's millions and millions of people in America can't even read and write, and many have even gone through college. How in the name of common sense can you even get through grade 1 and 2 without being able to read and write? And they're not born again. They're not spiritual. They're out there raising whoopee and Cain and murder, destruction. So don't try to make Brother Brown say what he didn't say. He even figured Becky might go to college and come out full-fledged because it might be better for her. Trusting God to see her all the way through. So come on, let's not get all messed up. Oh man, I've seen marriages want to go on the rocks and people, oh, you can't do this and that. Hogwash. Phew, you talk about sheer stupidity. How could a prophet of God pick out a man to do all the clever work in God and endue that man with the supernatural power to do it for the very structure of the tabernacle and the temples of God? And they say, God's against it. God's against perversion. And what they've done, they've perverted the gold. But he had to use a certain amount in order to bring forth the type. And when it comes to the new Jerusalem, he'll walk upon streets of transparent gold created by God. So what's all this nonsense? Phooey. Oh, listen, you say, why you get so mad, Brother Vail? Because I've been through this stuff. You're just sitting here listening to it. Get into it. Now we know that Satan's gospel is a gospel of science and progress. It's a gospel. Open your eyes, stupid, and look around. Come on, it can't be that way. Open your stupid eyes and look around. You produce something. I hit this and I'll hit it harder because one day you're going to need it. You'll be shaken from center to circumference whether I'll believe them or not. I've told you people tell lies about Brother Branham. They're spread all around the country. Old Brother Branham was Souders, the guys that founded the School of the Prophets. Brother Branham's own words were, he's going to go there to a camp meeting. The angel of God stepped right to the door and said, where do you think you're going? Some pack, you ain't going nowhere. And then for Mrs. Beale, Frodsham came by in those birds. And then he said, well, I'll go, sure, I don't mind. The angel of God stood at his front door. And he said, where do you think you're going? Well, I'm going up to the great army, just to be. He said, no, you're not. Just go on back and unpack your bags. You ain't going nowhere. Man came by my place and my brother, he said, went to see Brother Branham. And he had that red-headed guy called Hootie around there. And he was such a miserable guy. And he claimed to be a prophet. And Brother Branham listened to him and did everything he told. Brother Branham told me opposite. He said he kicked his rear end off his property. Booed him out flat. You're getting the truth tonight, brother, sister. You better smarten up and believe you're getting it. Amen. You better appreciate it, because one day and put it down here, you're going to need it. You'll need it. Don't worry, I need it. Okay. Why, Brother Branham brings out here, he said, look. He said, they want science. They want progress. Sure. Well, sure, you won't die. Now they're trying to tell you, hey, with the right splitting of genes, and the right hormone growth, and the right this and that, well, you could really live to be 100 and obese, round cheek, and pretty. You're like Dorian Gray, you know. The picture of Dorian Gray. You know all that one, yeah. You haven't seen the movie. It's not a dirty movie. You could see it, rather than bother reading the book. But they took a poll. And you know what that poll said? That poll said people, number one, are more interested in anything in this world. The big thing is getting along with people. You thought it was money, but it's not. The next thing is health. That's an actual poll taken many years ago. And the church says, everybody love everybody. Catholics love Protestant, Protestant love Catholic, and everybody just love each other. That's it. Go ahead. I got one word for you. I want to ask you a question. If God loves a sinner and hates his sin, where does the blood of Jesus Christ come in? That should do it. Everybody should be saved. Why aren't they? They won't cover the truth. Now you argue with God. You say, Lord, get rid of that lousy guy there. You won't be the only one praying it. A lot of them are. According to the world, you're veiled by Vinnie Vail. Well, I didn't ask you to. I can leave here tomorrow. Notice he preached it in Eden. To whom? To Adam's bride. And she fell for it. He deceived her into questioning one of God's words. Let's see what he might have said. He might have said, it's not scientific to die in this holy church. You will be well schooled and educated not to believe in such unreasonable things as death. You think it's impossible? You can say, well, Brother Vail, it couldn't be because you see, you are going back on your personal experience and reading history, and you cannot believe that is so, but it could be 100% so. Because you are viewing everything after the fact, and hindsight is so wonderful. Oh, brother, I wish I had heard it. That's my foresight. Hindsight's always 20/20. In fact, it's better than 20/20. It's unreasonable to believe such things as that. I don't care if it's God's word did say it. It's unreasonable. Now, that's yesterday. What about today? Oh, look at him today. God's a good God. You're in his holy church. Why, you cannot die. But God said you would, and that settles it. See him today? Oh, just belong to church. It isn't what you do, this or that or other. Just come to the church and be a good member. Like Brother Brown said, if you go to church, be good. Cutting your hair, that's nonsense. What's that got to do with it? Wearing shorts, putting on pants, going to dances, a little beer once in a while won't hurt you, as long as you don't overindulge in it. Frankly, I wish your children would take it so they'd learn whether they liked it or not. They'll like it. There is the God of this evil age. Now, this is a true statement. For as converts are made in the church, and those converts stay there, the church will back them according to what they believe to be authentic Christianity, and they will tell you, listen, why would we lie to you? They don't know they're lying. They don't. They're so high on the Lord. They've been cracked with their crack, whatever it is. I don't know. God is a good God. I've heard that so much that I get sick. God is also a God of justice. He isn't any old doty grandpa that can be pushed around. And for his grandkids, they don't have any. He doesn't have grandkids, certainly not. You don't get born into that. You don't have any. He's a God of justice and holiness. He proved that in the Garden of Eden by his first children. You cross that line of one of his words, you're dead. Same thing applies today. In other words, God does not change. And is told in the book of Ecclesiastes the very same thing, that neither God nor his ways will change. In fact, it is worse than Brother Branham says it, because my Bible says, and Brother Branham said it, that's not mince words, twice dead, second death. In fact, the death that comes in the great tribulation at the very end, he actually likened to the second death and made it the second death because, look at it, it's all over. There's no place to repent. There's nothing at the white throne where the guy escapes. That's it. Neither root nor branch. 100. And notice, he preached that kind of scientific, social, educated, progressive gospel to Eve, and Adam's bride believed it. And he has succeeded in filling the so-called bride of Christ, the church of the second Adam, with the same arguments. That's right. See? Now, from what we hear in these paragraphs, it's evident that all religions outside of the message outside the message, will follow into 2 Thessalonians. They will believe the lie. And let's understand this. The lie has always been. It's only on this occasion they believe it at this particular period, and they're all wiped out. There has never been a time without the twins. And when you hear of the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Satan, you are hearing what I term to be a characterization as to what God is, and he does by his moving. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep and began to create and do so and so. That was it. You know God alone could do it. Devil can't do it. Devil can't create. Devil can't heal. Devil can't cast out devils. And yet I can prove to you that great men of God believe the devil could cast out devils, because I read Nevius's book, and Dr. and Brother Bosworth liked it, and I got my hands on it, and I thought for a while it was tremendous. And I was of the same opinion, because this man, he went as a medical doctor, a missionary, I think Presbyterian. He went to China, and there he learned of the hierarchy of the devils. And here would be a bigger devil fussing and controlling smaller devils. So now, to gain favor, the bigger devils would cast out smaller devils. And get more power. Hogwash. If the devil cast out devils, it's over. Do you hear what I said? Then get your minds, it's over. You either believe this or you don't believe it. You got nowhere to go. You're shot as far as the devil's concerned. If you believe and you're in with God, and you turn this down, you're good. The devil's got your lock, stock, and barrel. You done put your ear to the door, and the devil stuck his awl through. You can't hear anything now but that. Now, in the meantime, if you hear the Word of God and try to believe it and do believe it, there'll come a time when that's all you can hear. I love that. See? Oh, it's not for God to do that, they say. God is too good to do that. Whatever it is in your judgment. Why, as long as you go to church, if you believe. The devil believes, not make-believes, but he actually believes, and he's not saved. So where does believing take you? I'm a believer. So what? Doesn't bother anybody. The devil loves it. But God could throw it out. What do you believe? Paul said, my gospel. He pinpointed it. Brother Branham made it his because he said the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. He tells the second bride or the second Adam's bride the same as he told the first, such as now. Divine healing, there's no such thing. We can prove that. There's never been a case proved. And this baptism in Jesus' name. Now, don't you realize I'm the authority of the church? We've settled that in Nicaea, Rome. When those three unclean spirits went out of the dragon, the false prophets and so forth, we believe there's a trinity of gods. In other words, the devil gave that to them. Oh, for goodness sake, that's as heathen as can be. Don't you ever come before God to such a thing as that and try to stand in his presence. This is a white throne. And the right of the wicked cannot stand at the judgment. Now listen to me. This trinity is the Babylonian doctrine that came down from Nimrod, whose wife bore a son, way after 9 months the Nimrod was dead. And she said, definitely, Nimrod came back and impregnated her, and he is in the child, so that the son is the husband of the mother. Now, you tell me that that's not Catholicism and Protestantism. You don't know what you're talking about. Because everywhere you go, you will see what Hyslop wrote about, that even missionaries in China saw. The virgin mother with slant eyes and the slant-eyed baby. Chung Fung Du had the same thing as the hip boys of Bibbon with their Babel. Now you wonder why the world's in the conditions it's in. Look at Africa with this raw heathenism. See? They have turned back to their gods. And they've done it for centuries. You can't get away with it. The Indians of America are reviving their gods. Every place. Well, we all believe in God. What does it really matter? Whoever proved Jesus is alive? God proven right there. Who knows anything, really? Well, if you don't know anything, how come you get a bunch of philosophers together to think that they've got something they can't even handle because they can't prove anything? Bless God, I can pick up aluminum and prove in less than a split second it cannot be magnetic and attract anything. But these preachers, they get all the answers, like the Pope. Mary's ascended. Oh, yeah, she's glorified. Hogwash, she is. And I think a lot of the Virgin Mary. Come on now. But if I'm going to try to tell you something that God didn't do, I'm not going to do that because I don't know God did it. I don't even know God did this in the accepted sense that I can prove anything, but I want to find out who else had anything. I told you, bless God, my wife is too squeamish. She wouldn't eat worms, but I would if I'd eaten me alive. If this is worms, I'm going to eat worms. Because nobody else has got anything, and I'm dying. I'm starving. So you understand what I'm saying? That's not a can of worms. Don't think it is. I'm just illustrating the best I can to let you know, hey, you better believe something. 103. Oh, it doesn't make any difference if you're baptized in the sight of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What difference did it make? It made so much difference. Paul commanded a bunch of Baptists be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ before the Holy Ghost ever come upon them. And also caused that apostle to scream out, if an angel from heaven preaches anything else, let him be cursed. And Paul claimed water baptism as a revelation, the same as the Lord's Supper. Because they go together. He claimed that. He never said, I learned it from anybody. He tells you emphatically he got it from God. When he went to Ephesus, he found certain people that believed. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He knew something was a little bit off there. Well, they said, we haven't even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, then what in the world were you baptized unto? He said, John's baptism. Oh, he said, hold it. John baptized unto Jesus Christ, that was fine. But he's gone, and the Holy Ghost has come. Which is Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost. Oh, they said, wonderful, that solves the mystery. They got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He laid hands on them. They got full of the Holy Ghost. Now, there you are. See? It makes a difference. There's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost in these days. That's what people say. Well, that's because they're not born again. If you're born again, you got the baptism. You got the baptism, you're born again. That was only for the apostles. It's gone. It's past. No such thing as apostles. Prophets, rather. It's not known of. They're not known of. Miracles, they're unscientific. Malachi 4, oh, that's way back in the days of Jesus. That's, you know, no. Greater miracles? Oh, come on. No way. Jesus didn't really mean that. What about Luke 17:30? Oh, listen, that's just a myth or something. Some misinterpretation. Not in the original. Who knows? That's just Tommy rot. When God Almighty comes down in the midst and proves it, that's Tommy rot. When he says that Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever, and he proves that is so. I don't care who says anything about it. God interprets his own word. He said he would do this thing in the last days, and there would be light at evening time, and there is the light for the manifestation of the Son of God. Now, what is the light at the evening time? The light is twofold. Number one, it is a vindication of the presence of Almighty God and the truth that something is going to happen. And it happens. Now they say, hey, what is that all about? Ah, he said, let me tell you. Now that is the light. You cannot have a phenomenon from God without an interpretation. Which means there are two interpretations. God interprets his word by manifesting it, then he tells you what it's all about. It is always after the fact. And that is proven because God could not be visible to anybody until he made somebody. But God was before there was a somebody. So whatever there is, you find out after the fact. You find out about it. That's why a prophet must always interpret and tell. And if he can't tell, God doesn't show him. All he can do is tell you. And then somebody else has got to come along and tell you. That's exactly what Peter said. The prophet searched to know what time the Spirit of God in them was revealing this certain thing for. Drew a blank. Then John came on the scene. He said, this is it. And that did it. But it didn't do it. They didn't believe him. Now listen. The same sun that rises in the east is the same sun that sits in the west. That's Matthew 24, and that's wonderful. Now, nobody's going to believe that except us. Because that's William Branham. I know nobody else has said it. The prophet said there'd be a day that couldn't be called day or night. It's dismal. The clouds, a sea, are over the face of the sun. But he said, about evening time, it shall come light again. The same sun, he's Alpha and Omega, the same sun that rose in the east was predicted to rise in the west again in the last days before the day was over. I don't know how they interpret it. God interprets his own word. He proved it. This is the evening time. This is the light. The light from the east has come to the west. You can do what you want about it. Well, that's just what some prophet said. What will you say better? This man had thus saith the Lord. I don't care if you understand it all or understand it all. The point is there's got to be something somewhere. Or maybe there's nothing nowhere. Now, let me tell you something. Once you see this pen, don't ever say, again, you haven't seen a pen or there isn't one. You're kooky. When there's vindication, don't try to get out of it. You say, Brother Vail, why do you talk that way to us? I get my phone calls. It's sad, but she sure fell for it again. Christ's bride fell for it. and took the intellectual knowledge of some seminary preacher instead of believing the pure vindicated word of God. Now, what's he trying to tell you there? He's trying to tell you that as the seed come on down, God is going to have to do a very special thing to get his true seed out of here to immortality. Because it's always the same sad story. Right on down, down, down. God sends the truth. They love it for a while. The devil comes in and it's down the drain. Now remember, the book of Hebrews chapter 6 tells you that at the end time, there is going to be a complete vindication. Now let's look at it. Hebrews 6. Much time we got. 6-7 minutes. Well, that's just enough time to take my glasses off, wipe them, and pray and let you go home. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, those things which are truly written by vindication concerning Him, concerning His person and everything He's done and how He's done it, and what He will do, taking all the subjects of eschatology, soteriology, and all the other five Greek words that I don't know and don't understand anyway. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, doctrine. Now what? Doctrine of baptism, laying on hand, doctrine of resurrection, eternal judgment, and so on. You're going to lay it aside because you're going on to a perfection. So therefore, perfection doesn't lie in doctrine. It lies in something else. So, you're going to leave the doctrine. So if you leave the doctrine, at what time can you possibly leave it? Only for the presence Himself. So though He's the doctrine, He's not just doctrine. And this will do if God permit. In other words, you're going to come to a finalization where you see every one of these things thoroughly exposed, properly in their place, and you're going to see the headship, which is Christ, who is the doctrine. As the Bible said, face to face, you're going to be right in the presence. You're going to be here at this end time, the Son of Man. And this will do if God permit, but God did not permit. You know why He didn't permit? They couldn't take it. They weren't mature. They were baby stage. When you came forth from your mother's womb, what were you actually but sperm and egg that was invisible to the naked eye? And what are you now but the same thing? So look at a little baby in the time of Paul that the foundation was laid. And the capstone came and brought the word through Paul. You have the start of the church, a baby. Now you're coming up to full maturation, the full growth, like it says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. To perfection, to conclusion. This is it. It's over. It's culminated. Now, it's impossible, those once tasted, once and for all tasted the heavenly gift and so on down the line, to ever be renewed to repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. In other words, God comes on display in such manifestation that you can't help but know it's the Son of God. But being the Holy Ghost, it's, well, you can't help but know it's the Son of Man, I beg your pardon. But being it's the Holy Ghost, it's mistaken because the Holy Ghost is the Son of God. You hear what I mean? He's in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so they crucified to themselves the Son of God. Why? Because they don't believe Hebrews 13 and 8. They don't believe His perfection. They don't understand it. And yet the good theologians will tell you somebody somehow has got to rip off those seals and bring us the thunders. Holy Father Pope will do it, no doubt. Holy Father assemblies will get together, no doubt do it. You say, ah, that's right. And it's wrong. Because us, we, the great assembly, the Sanhedrin, has said so. And I read you where the same stupid Jews are claiming they tell God. Hasn't changed, brother, sister, nothing has changed. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did, He is doing now. That is our God. Listen. He promised He would do it, and He's done it. Well, that's nice. We got a couple of pages. Saturday and Sunday, we'll work very, very hard. Although I got a couple of good pages in here, maybe three or four, and then I just read, read, read. You don't need me to go into all these things in depth night after night. You've got the picture. The same as I have. All we got to do is just believe it and just let it sink in. You know? Down in our hearts. Sure. Let's rise and be dismissed. Our great Father God, we thank you again for your love and mercy that you extended toward us, giving us strength, Lord. But above all, giving us a desire to come together no matter what and just get into your word, which is so precious and so wonderful, Lord. We know there's things here that kind of go over our heads and they kind of come against us, sort of skewer us. And some things, Lord, they just seem to be, well, hey, what is so important? But we know there's no word here that isn't important. We know, Lord, that the very fact that we have any feelings other than the complete acceptation and the complete feeling at home with it lets us know that there's a little something in there that's got to go. And that little something we know is unbelief. That's just what amounts to. So, Lord, tonight, cleanse us, we pray, of all unbelief. Wash our hearts, Lord, by the blood. Cleanse our mouths, our hearts, our tongues, our minds, our soul, whatever's needed, Lord, by filling it with the sanctifying Holy Ghost who resides in the Word. Until we are plastered inward and out with the Word. And whereas the world is going to take the mark of the beast and the forehead in hand, where Israel put the little frontlets of the phylacteries before the eyes and upon the wrists, Lord, you got a people here that's going to have the Word of God in their mind and the doing in their hands. Lord, I believe that. I believe with Brother Branham that we're not bride. There's a bride out there somewhere. This is just too much, Lord, to just ignore and turn aside. There's something going on. There's something in the air. It's nature knows it, Lord. There's in the person who really doesn't. But blind leaders of the blind, Lord. Tonight are we blind, Lord? I know, Father, we couldn't see until you gave us the eye salve. You gave us the real Holy Ghost, the real revealed word, this whole thing here, to open our eyes. And we're struggling. But we're believing, Lord, that like old Ezekiel saw from that eastern gate, the water begins to flow. We've come up past our ankles, to our knees, to our thighs. Right up over it, Lord, waters to swim in, waters to carry us over. And I trust that's true of us tonight, Lord, because we don't have any proof in ourselves. We're not trying to have any proof in ourselves. We're not trying to be anybody. We tried that. It didn't work. It didn't work anybody. It just didn't work, Lord. But you had a word that works, Father, and I believe it's working. And I believe what you told Paul to tell us for this day, the testimonies believed in that day, which is this day, the prophet beyond the curtain of time, I know he didn't even know what was going on, came back and told us, it's absolutely in this word, Lord, I believe that. And I believe that's the love of the truth. For the end time, it's vindicated. I want to be a part, Lord. I believe by your grace somehow I am. I couldn't prove it, and I don't know if I can make anybody believe it. Not that I want to try to make anybody believe. That's their business, Lord. It's an individual affair. But I believe it tonight, Lord, and all I can do is claim it. Stand here, Lord, in your presence fatalistically. Where would I go? I wouldn't know where to go. When the sun broke upon the day, there in the dawn east, that was it. I didn't go looking for the moon, Lord. I didn't go looking for another sun. That was it. Lord, if I believe this is the light from the east, then this is it. I believe it is, and I thank you for it. And I praise you, Lord, that our hearts can be so one with that word, we can really praise you. And our face look toward your holy temple, O God. Be lifted up with the music and joy of the word in our hearts and praise thee, Lord, and worship you. A holy temple, a holy people, a holy congregation unto our God. Coming together, Lord, no matter where, around your word. Be with us tonight, Lord. Heal the sick amongst us. We get into that later, Lord, perhaps. You'll give us that progression here in our own church here, Father. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor through Jesus Christ our Savior, world without end. Amen, amen. Lord bless you. Take it.